So, anyway, moving right along, I want to thank the organizers for asking me up here today. When Amy called and asked if I would give this preliminary introduction and overview on phosphorus losses in the non-growing season, I reminded Amy that I live in North Carolina and I work in North Carolina, and our growing season is pretty much year-round, and so I wasn't quite sure why I was asked to do this. And then I saw the program, and I realized that everybody that knows anything about this topic is giving a presentation. And so anyway, I got to be up here with you all today, so this is great. And I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation. So, this is the favorite slide that I've ever taken in my entire life, and it shows the problem that we're all facing, which is excess nutrients from agricultural land uses into water resources. This happened to be taken in the Netherlands. It was probably more of a nitrogen problem than a phosphorus problem, but I work with a world-renowned, well, I kind of work, I listen to him, let's say that. I don't really work with him. A guy by the name of Hans Perl, he's a world-renowned aquatic ecologist, and he's convinced that we never have just phosphorus problems or just nitrogen problems, that they're co-linked. So this is the nut we're trying to crack. And when I was trained a long, long, long time ago in nutrient management, we were trained to look at nutrients for rate, source, placement, and timing. But now we talk about the four R's because it's an easier concept. We're still talking about source, rate, timing, and place. But for the topic at hand today, I think when you look at the four R's, the topic that we're really speaking to more than anything else is really timing. And so when I think about phosphorus losses in the non-growing season, this is typically what I think about. I think about animal waste spreading in the winter. And of course the question is this the correct timing? For some farmers it is the correct timing because they have the time to do it. The soils will hold their equipment, and they don't have big enough storage. So it's all relative perspective. Now, I want to talk a little bit about a new white paper that's coming out from US EPA. US EPA, for several years, worked with SARA 17 and NRCS. We had bi-monthly conference calls where SARA 17 and mostly SARA 17 or faculty members, gave presentations to EPAs about different subject areas related to primarily animal waste and phosphorus. But the topic they kept coming back to time and time again was manure application in the winter on frozen grounds. And so through these discussions, we worked with them somewhat. It was a very informal working relationship. And we looked at outlines, and then they hired out the work to put together this white paper, this policy framework of research findings on winter application. Now, they were very clear in what they were looking at. They bracketed the topic areas, land application of animal manure, snow-covered, ice-covered, and frozen soils that do not support growing crop. And their conclusion was there's no published research, and I'm reading this because I think it's so, I don't want to misrepresent what EPA is saying, indicating that winter manure application conserves nutrients in soils and supports subsequent growth. Now, the person that did the literature review was a gentleman by the name of Don Meals. Some of you know Don. Don has worked in this area for years. He's worked in the area of water quality. He happens to live in Vermont. He's one of the best scientists I've ever met, so I feel very confident that the information in here is good. And SARA 17, different people have been given the opportunity to look at what's in this, and it will be coming out soon. So that brings me to my next comment. So I started this by saying, you know, we really don't have a non-growing season in North Carolina. This is a picture of a spray field. As many of you know, North Carolina has probably more pigs than any other state. We also tend to have a lot of poultry in the same areas that we have a lot of pigs. But we do have very strict regulatory framework around applying our animal waste. So talking about the timing aspect of applying animal waste. And it can only be applied 30 days before or 30 days after breaking dormancy or planting a crop. So in North Carolina, at least, I thought we had the timing portion taken care of. And so I wasn't really concerned about that until about 6 weeks ago. Now, for some of you, you may not have heard about this, but we had rains that would have rivaled Noah's Ark. And it rained and it rained and it rained. And this is a memo from our Department of Environmental Quality. I'm sorry, they changed their name and I can't quite remember it. And basically it says, we know we've had a lot of heavy rainfall. We know we've got a hurricane coming our way. So here's the deal, folks. For those of you that have lagoons, we know you're going to be challenged because we're concerned that the rain is going to increase the level in your lagoons so high that they're going to breach. And so what we're going to let you do is apply your animal waste on your spray fields, even if you don't need to be applying it based on rate. Or even if it's too wet to be applying it, you can still apply it. The rationale is it's better to dilute it than to breach a lagoon. So I just want to know, how many of you followed the news story about our lagoons being flooded in North Carolina? Did any of you see those pictures? Oh, great, I have a fresh audience here. Okay, this is what happened. We had 11 lagoons flood. Now, we had had a previous hurricane a number of years before, and we'd moved all of the lagoons out of what we thought were the floodplains at that time. And we lost 2,000 pigs. All right. So when you're thinking about these non-growing seasons, I think we can extend it to these unexpected extreme weather events, too, when we're talking about phosphorus movement, for sure. And so there are a lot of specific talks today. I think it's a star-studded cast. I think there's a lot of great information. And if you take that information and you put it into topical areas, we're going to get an international perspective on regulations, principles of manure application and loss, these applications to snow and ice-covered environments that EPA is particularly concerned about, these non-growing seasonal phosphorus losses from different environments other than just snow, and practices that will reduce phosphorus and extending the growing season. So we know that phosphorus losses in non-growing season is a worldwide problem, and we probably should define it a little bit larger than just snow and ice. And so with that, I will...